Hello and welcome to the Creating Happy Writers podcast. My name is Steph Caswell, a multi-published author and writing coach who believes that every woman has a story worth sharing. I'm here to show you that writing your book doesn't have to be overwhelming or time-consuming. After all, you already have the expertise and content within you. Instead, I want to help women like you create a guilt-free space to write, build the confidence to share your message, and turn your knowledge into a business-boosting book that helps you earn what you deserve. You can get more support from me via my weekly email newsletter or in my book, Dare to Write. You can also become a member of the Happy Writers Hub, a space for you to dedicate regular time to your book project and start prioritizing it as your next bold business move. Doors are always open, so come and join us for weekly co-writing sessions, as well as monthly live Q&A sessions where you can ask anything you'd like about the writing and publishing process. Links to the newsletter, book, and the hub are all in the show notes. Hello, hello. Today is episode 85 of the podcast, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on why writing a book is your smartest business decision yet. Now, that is a bold statement, I grant you, but I truly believe that we need your voice. We need your expertise and your skill set. We need to hear how you've done things, why you've done things, and why you are the person that gets the results that you get for the people you work with. I also feel super strongly about the niche itself, the non-fiction niche. Now, that is a very broad niche when I say non-fiction, because within that there are several subgenres which sometimes I lose sight of. But let's say, for argument's sake, that within the business book space, within personal development, within health, these are kinds of the areas that I work with authors in. And I've noticed, I'm sure you've noticed, there's a lot of men, there's a lot of male voices, male opinions. And I'm not saying that any of these are not valid. Of course I'm not. What I am saying is there is a definite piece missing when it comes to expertise being shared. And that piece is female voice, is the voice of women who are leading in their industries and are not having the same level of recognition, the same opportunities that some of these men have had. And it gets me irritated. I am reading currently a book called The Authority Gap. And it's one of those books where as I'm reading, I'm feeling it's very good, very, very well written because the author is a journalist. So, of course, it's very, very concise. The stories are fantastic. But I'm also feeling really irritated. Irritated in a good way, because I'm feeling as though I'm starting to feel something churning within where I've always felt, and as you know, if you've listened to this podcast before, over the last 12 to 18 months, this real need for more female voice, for more women stepping into who they are, who they need to show the world that they are. And we can be hesitant as female writers. We can worry that whether what we have to say is as good as what is out there. We doubt ourselves. We think possibly that other people might look at us differently, treat us differently if we dare to put our head above the proverbial parapet, the literary parapet, shall we say, or the business parapet. I know that people that I admire the most in business, the people that I want to work with, who are my mentors, are people who are not afraid to lead. They're not afraid to take a stand, to say what they think, to have a really strong opinion. They are the people, the women, that I want to interact with. And I think it's the same for you too. Yes, we can follow our friends, we can follow the big names, but actually the women that inspire me, the women that I want to work with to improve my own self and my own business, are those women that are actively pursuing a leadership type role. And I know even now who I'm picturing in my head. I've had some of these women on the podcast, and I have been lucky in some cases to work with them to improve my own skills. And I just want more of that. I want more of that for female business owners. I want people to be leading, and I want us to feel inspired by and motivated by those leaders ourselves. And I think we need to become them by writing our books. So this is an episode which is all about kind of what I think about how a book can really be a vehicle, a springboard, a tool, whatever word we want to use. I really want the book to do something for you beyond it just being the thing that you hold in your hand. So are you ready? Let's dive in. So I'm going to come at this from three angles. I'm going to come at it from the fact that your book can be a great business asset. I'm then going to come at it from an impact perspective. And finally, I'm just going to share some thoughts on why I think we hesitate and the cost of that hesitation for us women. So they're the kind of four angles I'm really using today, because I feel that they are going to be interesting for you to listen to, but also for you to consider, where do you stand within each of them? Let's dive into the business case then. The business case for writing a book. Here's a question, and I just want you to think about the answer that you might give me if we were having this conversation in person. What do 76% of keynote speakers at major business conferences have in common? Of course, I'm going to tell you, they are published authors. And I just want you to let that sink in for a moment, because we don't see a lot of women on stages. We're seeing more women, but we're not seeing, I don't think, an equal number of women. I still think it's very male dominated. And the great thing, actually, when I think about it, when I went to Atomicon last year in 2024, I loved the fact that there seemed to be a much more diverse approach to the speakers. But interestingly, what I do know about Atomicon is if you want to be a speaker, you have to write a book. And whether you're a man or a woman, you need to have a book under your belt. So there are conferences that are really trying to change the landscape when it comes to having both men and women presenting on stage, being seen as experts. Indeed, the keynote speaker was Davina McCall. So that was great, because it was somebody high profile, but also somebody who, as a woman, it was great to see up there talking about her journey and her expertise, what she's learned, sharing that with us. So there are steps in the right direction, but I just want you to consider that if you want to be that person on stage, if you want to be asked to talk at conferences within your industry, if you want to go to bigger stages like Atomicon or whatever else might be out there for you that is applicable, you cannot do that unless you've shown your expertise in a book. Because these organisers know that the people with books are the people with the voice, the opinion, the expertise, the success in terms of transformation for either themselves or people they work with. So they are looking for those leaders. They're not looking for just anybody. They're looking for the voices that are standing out and making themselves known. And that is why I think a business book is your greatest asset, because it's going to open the doors that you can't possibly imagine, but also doors that you want to be knocking on and actually having them open in front of you. A book can do that. Daniel Priestley shared a statistic, and I shared this recently on the podcast. He shared the statistic that on Diary of a CEO podcast, not that, you know, I'm saying that is your aspiration to be a guest on there, but if you think the biggest podcast in the country right now is a podcast that is prioritizing authors. So he's said that I think 80% were authors of guests that have been on Diary of a CEO. And that's why Daniel Priestley, who wrote Key Person of Influence, is such an advocate for people to write books to be seen as a person of influence. So you've got to see the pattern here. Unfortunately, some of this is coming from the men, and it's almost saying, hey, men, write more books. You know, I'm a man. And if we know anything about how men interact online, they follow other men. They're less likely to follow other women. And there is a statistic out there which drives me bananas, but it's out there and I will find it. There is a statistic that says that men are unlikely to read a book written by a woman. And that almost empowers us even more to be like, do you know what? We don't need you reading our stuff. We need a movement to start where more women are being seen as the experts, are being read by other women, are being lifted by other women. And when that happens, momentum takes place and then men start to get interested. And I know that sounds a sad state of affairs. Maybe you don't agree with me. Maybe you think that actually we should be aiming at men. But if what the statistics and history tell us is that men are not voluntarily reading our stuff, to all intents and purposes, all I'm going to say is fuck them. Let us focus on the people we want to help. Let us focus on lifting other women. Let us focus on supporting other women in what they're doing. And if you do work with men, then great. I'm thrilled. I tend to work mainly with women because I'm at this point in my business where I want to be elevating female voice. But if you work with men, it's not to say they won't read your book. I'm not saying that at all. And if they are people that are, you know, modern thinkers and are absolutely here for equality and understanding how much impact women can have, then they will read your book. But all I'm saying is, let us start from what we can control, which is the people in our immediate circle. And also, let's just champion each other. But anyway, I've gone down a path there. I'm going to come back and reverse out. If you imagine me in my little podcast car, I'm going to reverse out of there. And I'm going to continue with the business case for a book. We know that to get on a stage, a book isn't just a nice to have. It's actually the ticket to these bigger stages, these bigger events. And I truly believe that it can be something that just does all the legwork for you. It's not a case of you having to sort of apply and say, oh, trying to share all of your knowledge. And, oh, if you listen to my podcast and if you read my social posts and if you subscribe to my newsletter, which are all brilliant things to have. But if you can say to an event organizer, here's my book, I'm a published author, it's doing the legwork for you. And I had a guest on the podcast last year, Hannah Eisted, who wrote The Best 90 Days Ever. And that's the program that she runs. And I adore Hannah. And I think she does a marvelous job at what her expertise are, which is marketing. And I watched a Instagram story that Hannah put out last week, and she was talking at an Adobe event, and she was invited to be on the stage to talk, to share her expertise about her 10-minute marketing and all the other things that she has to say in this space. And her book, she shared this photo and I shared it to my stories because it was her book on all these chairs, and she'd just taken the empty chairs, all the books on the empty chair seats waiting for the audience. And it inspired me, and I've writing book number 8. So if it's inspiring to me, it can be inspiring to you. And I just really want you to imagine the same situation. And a lot of people don't realize the business case for a book doesn't have to be you always speaking at events that are put on. It's actually going into the corporate sector. Can you get your book into the corporate sector in some way so that you can go and speak at corporate events? And there are a lot of corporate events out there. And I know for a fact that big companies, if you can get in and talk at any of their kind of internal events, they will buy copies of your book for everybody who's attending the conference. And that can be 500 people. So again, there's a business case here for writing something that is then going to do other things for you once it's out there. You can't just think of, oh, launch day, publishing day, the first few months. It's like, what is it going to do for you years down the line? I think event organizers are actively now looking for female voice because they know there's this disconnect, there's this disparity between the male and the female representation on stages, they're actively looking for women writing. So you're at a great position, or a great place, should I say, where this is a good time to write a book, because they're actively seeking women to come and share their expertise, because they know the balance has always tipped far too heavily into the male space. I think the second business case is that, like I said, around speaking, around lead generation, clients, new audience, again, the book does the legwork. If somebody starts following you on social media, and I have this, people follow me, and then a few months later or a couple of weeks later or whatever it could be, they message me to say they've read my book. And I've never interacted with them before. They may have never even liked or commented on one of my posts, but they have followed me for a bit. They've obviously seen what I'm doing. They want to know a bit what I'm about, and they've bought my book. Again, all of that is happening when I am walking the dog, doing other stuff, cleaning, hanging out the washing. The book is doing the stuff for me, and it is showing people what I'm about, what my expertise are, what I am like possibly to work with, what my style is. And it's just a great way of having something where if someone inquires to work with you and they're not sure, there is that opportunity to say, hey, let me send you a copy of my book, you know, that lovely reciprocity thing. Let me, you know, for free, share a copy of my book with you. You can have a read, see what you think. You know, it's that idea of opening up conversations, having possible opportunities come in with working with new people because you have your book right there to send and to showcase you when you're sleeping. When you are a published author, there's a credibility that comes with it, be it self-published or traditionally published. I don't think there's the gap that there once was. What I do know is that you can charge more. And I don't shy away as much as I used to from talking about making money, about selling, about being a successful business owner, because we need to talk about women making more money. We need to talk about them being successful. We need to celebrate the fact that women are able to create businesses that can give them the life that they want to live. And I'm here for that. I'm embracing that. I started my journey with that at the start of 2024. So I'm a year in now of just embracing, talking about what I do, telling people what I offer, inviting people to work with me, not shying away from it. I still have a lot of work to do around it to get even more consistent, but it's a starting point. And the thing that I recognize is that by writing a book, you are able to really hone in on, oh my goodness, I have this knowledge, I have this expertise, I have these skills that people want to pay me for, and I need to start charging what I'm worth. Otherwise, it's a race to the bottom. If you're always just trying to discount everything you ever do, it's a race to the bottom. And this can be a lot of mindset work here, and this isn't the conversation for it. But I do think the mindset piece around what you charge and how you value yourself is a massive one. And there's a massive gap between, for some people, what they are actually worth in terms of all of that stuff you have that is uniquely yours and what you charge for it. There's a gap because we can sometimes devalue ourselves. But a book can help remind you that you should be charging exactly what you are worth, what you feel comfortable charging, what you need to charge sometimes in order to make a living. Remember that with the book and the business case for the book. You can raise your rates when you write a book because instantly you have expert status and people won't be surprised that you charge higher rates because you've written a book. You are credible. You are seen as the expert. And if they're new to your audience, they're going to expect you to be charging something that is a good rate, the rate you deserve. Because we assume that if I got to work with any of my author heroes or any of my personal development heroes, I would be expecting to pay a premium because I know they're experts because I've read their books. So if they read your book and they're like, oh, I want to work with this person, and then they go onto your website and you're charging 50 quid for a power hour, they're going to be like, what? There's just going to be a real mismatch. So we need to align everything. You writing a book, you are a freaking expert. Therefore, charge like you are a freaking expert. And I'm just going to say this final point, charge like you're a man who's a freaking expert. And then you will feel, actually, yeah, I'm starting to value myself and my self-worth a lot more than I was. So let's look at perspective. You can make a book that is much more than just a book. And this is, I think, something that we can often not realise. When we write a book, we can break free from the time for money trap, so charging, you know, by the hour or that sort of thing. We can start to think, actually, how am I going to package this up into something of value for my audience and for the people I want to work with, but also that gives me the life I want with the income I want. And that income is different for everybody, but it's really tapping into what is this book going to do for me, perspective wise, with my business. Because sometimes we can sort of keep it, we can almost compartmentalize the book. When the book is done, we can think, well, oh, I've got a book. But actually, what is that book going to bloody do for your business? It has to be an important part of strategizing. And that is why I now have strategy hours, because I realize that there is a gap here where people want to write a book, but they don't really get what it's going to do for their business. What is the business part of writing going to be? How are you going to tie it into your business? What can you offer off the back of writing a book? And these book strategy hours are often where people will come in the initial stages, or maybe they're in the middle of writing and they're thinking, like, why am I bothering with this? And when we don't know why we're bothering, it's very unappealing. But we have to get strategic. We have to look at, I'm writing a book. Why am I writing it? For me and for my business. Yes, the reader is very important. You know how much I love talking about the reader journey, but let's park the reader for a minute and let's think about you. Why are you writing this? What do you want it to do for your business? What's the reason you're writing it? And if you're not clear on that, it can feel really challenging. So the perspective shift has to be books in a wider scale. What is it doing more widely for your business? And when you can get strategic, when you can know how it's creating opportunities for new leads, new sales, or whatever it might be that you want it to do, when it's packaged up properly, your knowledge, it then becomes your intellectual property. It becomes the thing that you're known for. And that just gradually appreciates over time. You know, it's gradually growing and growing, and that idea of you being a leader continues to grow. So the perspective of you becoming a leader has to happen, that shift, not from, oh, I'm just somebody who I thought I might write a book. No, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing, I'm a leader. I'm someone who has something to say. I have stuff that works and I want people to listen because I know it's going to help them and it can transform their lives. And books change lives. I don't know how many times I have to say this. I say it on social media. I say it here. Books change lives. And the sooner we can recognize that and realize that we can be somebody who could transform someone's life through our words, everything changes. We have a responsibility to the other women who also want to write books, who also want to have a voice. We have a responsibility because they're looking at or looking for people who are doing the thing that they want to be doing, people who are leading the way. And I had a social media post I did a few months ago, which was, imagine that you're holding your hand out to those other women and saying, look, come with me, we can do this. And yes, it might not feel like that. You might be thinking, Christ, Steph, I'm just writing a book about, I don't know, marketing strategy. But actually what you're doing is, yes, you're helping all the people who need help with marketing strategy, but you're also telling those people, those women in your audience, that they could have something to say too. And you never know, your book could be the thing, the catalyst for someone to think, God, I really want to write a book too. I really want to write a book that can help people. And you won't know that, they may never tell you, but it's about the ripple effect. What are we doing to encourage more female voice? And it might not even be in the book space. Might be in the podcast space. It might be that somebody starts to share their opinion more on social media, on their Substack newsletter. It could be that they start blogging about their thoughts and opinions because they've been inspired by your thoughts and opinions. thoughts and opinions. We need to break down this barrier between female voice and feeling as though we don't have a right to share what we want to share and that we're not going to be seen in the same way as the men. Look, let's be honest, it's a journey. We're moving in the right direction, but we're moving, as Miranda from The Devil Wears Prada would say, we're moving at a glacial pace. And we are moving at a glacial pace when it comes to more representation in business books by women. But we're moving, so let's just be grateful. But we need to break down these barriers by doing the thing. We can't observe it and think, oh, I'd love to write a book one day, but not do it. It's by doing it we start to break these barriers down. You're also, final point here on perspective, it's not just a book. It's your legacy. And that can seem like a massive word. Legacy feels strong. It feels terrifying, perhaps, but it's absolutely the case. Your legacy is in the book you write, because your book will last longer, we hope, if it's written well, than you will on this earth. And there are books out there that we still read today where the author is no longer here, but they still have an incredible impact. So don't underestimate the legacy side of this perspective shift. It's not just a book, it is your legacy. Your experience, your struggles, your triumphs, they're not just your story. They are a guide, a roadmap, an inspiration for all the women who are coming behind you. Common hesitations. These are the things that I know from talking to authors hold them back. First one, I don't have time. I don't have time to write a book. And the real truth is, the most successful women who are writing books, they make the time. And that seems harsh, and I can sometimes feel a little bit mean saying it, but this is the tough love segment of this episode. You have to make the time. We know, as women, we're super busy with our businesses, with our families, with everything else. But if you are truly passionate about getting this project, this book project, off the ground, you have to make the time for it, which is why 30-minute sprints happened. You know my story. I was still working. I had young children. I had to make the time, and the time was 30 minutes at 5 o'clock in the morning. Did I enjoy it at 5 o'clock in the morning in January? No, I didn't. I hated it. And that's why I made it 30 minutes, because that's all I could tell my brain that I could cope with. But I still write, as you know, in 30-minute sprints. So I make the time, but I make it manageable. And that is the difference. Part of that is using the content you already have. I absolutely love doing this. And this is part of Strategy Hour. If you have content, podcasts, newsletters, workshops you've run, memberships you have, it's all material for your book. I was doing a chapter of my current work in progress, my current manuscript, and I realized I'd done a whole podcast episode that I could use the transcription for. So I chucked that into my first draft. Yes, I have to go and polish that turd, and I have to sprinkle some glitter on it, but the absolute nuts and bolts of what I wanted to say was there. So that is why sometimes sitting down for a strategy session with me can really give you direction, because you'll start to realize how much content you already have, and that saves you time. So it's the time thing I get, and I'm compassionate towards, and I understand the hesitation, but making the time 30 minutes and having some of the content already will save you so much agony in the first draft. Second thing people can tell me, market is saturated. It's your unique perspective that's missing. There may be loads of books out there, and you'll hear me say this time and time again. Yes, there will be books, because publishers know that, particularly in self-help and that kind of business book, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. So they're not going to stop publishing books on your topic, on your theme. But we have to realize that it's our voice that's missing, our perspective, why we're writing it, our take on the challenges that these people are facing, our readers, and why we have to be listened to, why we have something to say. So it's thinking, how are you different to the samey books that can be published? What are you going to do to really stand out and be different? And that comes down to voice and experience and life stories and lived experience. So don't think to yourself, oh, so many books out there on this. Okay, great. That just shows there's an audience who want them. And the third one is, I'm not ready. Oh, you know how I feel about this. You know how I feel about this. There is no perfect time. It's like having kids. Sometimes I hear people who say, oh, we're waiting for the right time. And obviously everyone's entitled to do what the hell they want. But in terms of like the right time to have children, I don't necessarily believe there is a right time. You're never going to be 100% ready. You might be much more ready than you were 5 years ago. But if you are in a position to be able to have kids and you want kids, you're never going to be 100% ready. It's one of those risks you have to just take and roll with it. And it's a little bit like that with the book. We can hide behind needing more qualifications. We can hide behind all these other things. But actually, we just need to bloody do it. We just need to sit our asses in the chair and we need to write. And we can tell ourselves we don't have a PhD. We can tell ourselves we just want to do one more qualification or we just want another year in business. And it's not going to make a difference to the book because everything you have to say is already inside you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be thinking about writing it. I truly believe that is the case. When you are in a position to write, because you have all that knowledge, the book will start asking you to write it because your brain is recognizing you've got all this stuff, you've got all this information and knowledge. Just write it down. If that's what you want to do, stop looking for reasons to wait. And I'm going to come on to the cost of waiting in a minute. I can often hear people say, I'm not a natural writer. I wasn't born a writer. Neither was I, my love. Neither was I. I just practiced and practiced and practiced and read and read and read. And I still read and I still practice. There will be thousands, tens of thousands of words of mine that never see the light of day, but it's all practice. And the sooner you realize that, you don't have to be a natural. You just need to be able to communicate what you have to say in a way that speaks to your reader. And there are so many support systems that you can have in place to help you. There are so many bits of technology now that can help you. Again, working with me, where we can sit down and talk about the best way for you to approach this is important for some people, for a lot of people. They just need some direction. They just need some help to flesh out their outline. And then they can go and they can dictate their book if they want to. But an editor will help you shape it and polish it and make it sound like something that you can't quite believe you wrote. And it's about trusting the process and acknowledging the fact that there will be hard bits, but you can do it. Of course you can. There are people who have all sorts of neurodiversity who can write books that they never thought they could. So just think to yourself, don't have to be natural. I just need to be able to say what I want to say. And how that then comes out is part of the process. And you can have so much help with that. Don't let it put you off. I'm going to finish today with the cost of waiting. I will talk to people quite a lot who publish books. And quite often they'll say, God, I just wish I'd done it sooner. I've been thinking about it for so long. I just wish I'd done it a few years ago when I first thought about it. I hadn't kept putting it off. And that's because they realize that writing it is such a wonderful experience and does so much for them that it seems a shame they waited. We can't take that time back. There's no point pondering on it longer than necessary. But there is a cost to waiting. And all those opportunities, all those stages you see yourself on, or speaking gigs you see yourself delivering, those clients that you really want to bring more of into your business, the fact that you keep putting it off and putting it off just means that that stuff is further and further away all the time. And that can feel frustrating and annoying and you can berate yourself for it. But those opportunities will be there for you. It's on the other side of writing this book. And it doesn't have to take a long time. It can take you 6 months if you knuckle down. It can take you 9 months to a year if you need to spread it out a little bit more. But it just needs to be a year of focused attention. And then you've got years then beyond that of opportunities. So just think about it. How can you channel your enthusiasm for this into the next few months, into the next year, and then think to yourself, right, I know off the back of that, I've got 5-10 years of talking. Think of blimmin' James Clear. I always talk about him, don't I? Atomic Habits. People like Mel Robbins, you know, with the 5-second rule, she still goes into organizations now in the corporate world. And so does James. So do a lot of people, actually. They go in and they do their talk. And James has been published for, what, a decade now? Maybe just under a decade. Mel's the same, about a decade. And they're still going in and talking about what they do to organizations all over the world. Please don't forget that it's not just a case of, well, what gigs can you get in the next 6 months after publishing? It's about the years of speaking gigs and opportunities and workshops and memberships that you can start that can come off the back of it. I hope you enjoyed today. I know I got a bit ranty, but I feel so strongly about this that it's really hard to not come across as ranty. I want you to know that it's perfectly normal to hesitate and to worry and to think, is this the right move? But from one woman to another, it is the right move. It is. You are absolutely the person that we need to hear from. If you've got success with real people, if you've been doing what you do for years, and most women I work with have been in it 5+ years, of course you have absolutely got the credentials, the expertise. If you have had clients who've had success, transformation, if they've made the changes they want to make, if they've been successful at the end of it, in whatever capacity that might be in your industry, you have got what it takes to write it down. It is more often than not a mindset thing. It is more often than not a confidence thing. It is not an ability thing. We need more women writing books. We need more female experts being called on. We need more women on stages. And that will only happen if we write books to get us to those places, to show the women coming up behind us, the young girls coming up behind us, that we can do this, that women are seen as experts. That comes from lighting the way and writing the book. If you are interested in a strategy hour, I have them currently on offer, because in April, coming back to my self-worth, I'm putting the prices of my strategy hours up. So I have 5 available between now, which is the end of February 2025, and the end of March. So if you want a strategy hour in that time, then you know what to do. Contact me, steph@stephcaswell.com, and I will share the link with you for you to find out more. I will also put the link in the show notes. So go and check out the strategy hour. We can cover whatever you need to cover that is stopping you from making progress with your book. If you're right at the beginning, we can talk about what you need to start and move forward. If you are partway through, we can talk about perhaps what's blocking you right now and what you can do to continue that momentum. Strategy hours are some of my favorite ways to spend time with my wonderful authors, because we can get into the nuts and bolts of your particular issue and your particular book and talk about all the wonderful things it could do for you, for your business, and for your readers. Check the link in the show notes. If you know someone else who'd enjoy listening to this, please do forward it on to them. If you haven't left a review, I'd be so grateful if you did, because it just helps other people know what this podcast is about and whether it's worth listening to. I am here for all and every bit of feedback and every bit of conversation around this, and I hope that it's left you feeling inspired. So until next time, happy writing.